Take your Bible, please, and turn to Job chapter number 21. Job chapter 21. When you arrive at Job 21, find verse number 19. Job 21, verse number 19. Job 21, verse 19. Once you've found it, I would like to inconvenience you for a moment, but I'd like you to stand for me real quickly, and we'll do that out of reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read a couple of verses to us. I'll read them out loud. I will refer to many, many verses in my sermon. Job chapter 21, starting with verse number 19. The Bible says this, God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. Look back at me, if you will. I promised this morning, because I was going to talk, today's a special day. It's Senior Citizen, Grandparent, Great-Grandparent Day. I'm going to give you something today. I call the sermon, it's entitled Strength. Strength. When you approach that last one-third of your life, strength becomes a bit of a challenge. And your strength is challenged. Now, whatever age you are today, you need to listen. You say, oh, well, if this is for grandparents, I don't need to listen. No, if you will listen, I promise you, the concept and the truth that's going to be preached is going to help everybody in this place. I would guess we all need strength. I'm going to talk to you about it from the Bible. Let me pray. Father, bless us now. I need you to reach down from heaven and do something unique. Our time is short. There's been a lot of activity, a lot of movement in this service. We still have yet some wonderful things to accomplish before we leave for the day. So God, I need you to reach in and give me the attention of the people. May I give you mine. Dear Jesus, I don't want to waste your time. I want you to be in charge of what's said and done in these following minutes. God, help us not to waste this time. Father, please, help people to leave here today having a better grasp on the thing of strength, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Before I really tear into the sermon, I'm going to tell you a very quick story. I hope as a result of it, you'll feel sorry for me. We live in the Greenbrier subdivision, and I had pine trees everywhere, and we had 41 of our pine trees taken out. We have lots and lots of trees left, but it cost me a pretty penny to try to get all those trees out. And when I ran out of all pennies and nickels, I needed to take care of everything other than taking the trees out myself. And the guy that took them out, he said, you're going to find lots and lots of roots throughout your yard, where all that landscaping was. There's a lot going on under that landscaping, and I had no idea. I said, no problem. I'm going to do this. He said, who are you going to hire? I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it myself. That's the stupidest thing I ever decided to do. It's been months. There are all sorts of lifted areas in my landscaping that was covered with pine needles. I was going to take all those little hills out. I found out that the people that built, they covered stumps with little mounds of dirt and roots. I mean, there must be a billion roots in my yard. And every time I thought I had it all, another one needed to be yanked up. And it's time to plant grass, so I had to get it all done. I've been working on it for really more than 3 months, every spare moment that I had. The other day, I was laying on the ground, and I was going, after 3 months, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, help me. I've got so much yet to do. I said, I need strength. And I'll tell you how bad it got. I went in and told my wife, I said, if you don't help me, I need help before it gets dark. I couldn't even put my stuff away. I was just so tired. You know, people, we get that way. I think we get that way physically, but I think sometimes we get that way emotionally. I think we get tired spiritually. In our text verse, let me read a verse to you. I'm very excited to teach you what I'm about to teach you. In our text verse in Job 21:23, it says, one dieth in his full strength. That interested me. God said someone passed away, but they were pretty well at full strength when they passed away. I am 57 years of age. Now, my hair, it's 90, but the rest of me is 57. And I, as I look into the following 20 years of my life, I understand that my strength will be challenged. When I read that verse that talked about someone that had reached the end of their life, but evidently they got very close to the end of their life at full strength, I said, that's interesting to me. That's interesting. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 34:7. This is what it says about the great man named Moses. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Sounds to me like Moses might have been at full strength when he died. That's incredible to me. Let that be an encouragement to you. You said, preacher, you chose the age 60 for senior citizen. Well, Moses was 120 when he died. So if you're 60 and you could be like Moses, you're only halfway home, baby. So don't worry. 120 years old. How encouraging. Hey, let me ask you this question. In regard to your spiritual strength, your spiritual endurance, are you at full strength? Are you at three-quarter strength? Maybe you're at half strength. Maybe you're at a quarter strength. Maybe spiritually, you're just out of strength. I don't know about you, but I want and need full strength. It's our goal to figure out how to achieve full strength. Yeah, when you're sick, you need your medicine to be at full strength if it's going to make you better. Nothing worse than grabbing a pop, I don't know what you want to call it, a cola, a soda. Nothing like pulling a pop out of the refrigerator to go to drink it when it's not at full strength. You know, when the fizz is gone and it's flat. You want that pop to be full strength. You want a cleaning, if you're cleaning and you're cleaning supplies, you want that disinfectant at full strength. If you're not getting it, let me tell you this. We want your mouthwash at full strength. You really do want the deodorant to be at full strength. You say, why? Or your strength will be coming at all of us. Look, fuel that's not at full strength is almost worthless. Dave, I wonder how many times you guys will work on vehicles and there's something wrong with the actual fuel. It's weakened. Ephesians 3:16 says, he that would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, I have to tell you, there's something about getting the inner man strengthened that will strengthen the outer man. Because if you don't feel it, if you're not thinking it, if you're not grasping it on the inside, it is so hard to get anything accomplished on the outside. And a bit of attitude has a lot to do with that. I've seen some very strong spiritual giants. And I've watched people be strong even as they go into the last one-third of their life. But for all of us today, if you'll listen, I'm going to try to very simply and as quickly as I can talk to you about this thing of strength. And I wish everybody here would say, you know, at whatever level of strength I am experiencing in my life right now, I would like to have more. I wish we'd even set the goal of being at full strength. Let me first of all submit to you that when people are unsaved, lost people, according to God, spiritually, they're without strength. They're without strength. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God is saying ungodly people have an absence of strength. They're without strength. Lost man is without the strength to live holy. Lost man is without the strength to resist Satan. Lost man is without the strength to resist evil. Lost man is without strength to obey God properly. A lost man is without strength to think God's way. A lost man is without strength to be in God's will like they should. A lost man is without strength to handle burdens properly. A lost man is without strength to submit to the Scripture or to defeat Satan or to see things spiritually or to control their emotions biblically. And that is one reason why you have all the addictions in the world, because when you're lost, you don't have the spiritual strength to handle life, so you run to an addiction trying to figure out what to do with the burden of life. Listen, if you're unsaved today, I want to welcome you to the Savior, because a Savior can give you a strength that you would never imagine was available. I think there's some people in here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you say, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Let me make you a promise. If you're trying to handle it on your own, I don't know how you're going to make it either. And I'm not trying to depress you, but I'll never forget the day that Jesus Christ moved into my life, and that which I once could not do, I suddenly could do. And it wasn't because of me, it was because of the added strength that came to me when I trusted Christ as Savior. And you say, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know how to explain it. I just know what happened. And there are people in here that can testify and to say the same thing. The day they got saved, there was a strength that came to them that they did not understand prior. And so, may I say, lost man's without strength. Secondly, we get strength by doing the will of God. We get strength by doing the will of God. Proverbs 10:29 says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Notice it says, the way of the Lord is strength. We get strength by doing the will of God. Notice, we do not get strength to do the will of God, but rather we do the will of God to get strength. There are a lot of people sitting around waiting for the strength to get something done. No, go get it. Go get it. I don't get strength to pray. I get strength from praying. I don't get stamina to ride my mountain bike. I get stamina from riding my mountain bike. Anybody here knows that? Anybody here lift weights? If you work out, you say, I'm just waiting to get the strength to work out. No, you get strength from working out. You don't get strength to work out. And we get mixed up about this in life. There are people right here, you're saying, well, you know, if I just had the strength, I would, no, go do what needs to be done. And it will help build the strength that you need to get it done. Ball players, you don't get strength to practice. You get strength from practice. You don't get strength to lift weights, but you get strength from lifting weights. You don't get strength to yank roots out. You get strength from yanking the roots out. Some Christians spend their lives in neutral waiting for God to put them in drive. I'm sorry, you need to get into drive where God can use you. According to Scripture, our amount of strength is equal to our amount of obedience. Little obedience produces little strength. Average obedience produces average strength. Great obedience produces great strength. We don't get strength to obey, but we get strength from obeying. You say, hey, Pastor, well, I would get saved, but I don't think I have the strength to live right. You don't obtain strength and then get saved. You get saved, then obtain strength. We get strength by obedience. When I'm praying, I'm strong. When I'm not praying, I'm weak. When I'm in church, I'm strong. When I'm not in church, I'm weak. When I'm in the right kind of a church, I'm strong. If I'm in the wrong kind of a church, I won't be strong. When I'm winning souls, I'm strong. When I'm not winning souls, I'm weak. When I'm reading my Bible, I'm strong. When I'm not reading my Bible, I'm weak. When I'm giving like I'm supposed to, I'm strong. When I'm not giving like I'm supposed to, I'm weak. Each act of obedience adds to my strength. We get strength from what we do, not for what we do. And the opposite is also true. Each act of disobedience adds to my weakness. James 4:7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Get that? Submit yourself to God. That's obedience. Then this will produce strength. You will resist the devil, and he will flee. The first thing I want you to understand is lost people don't have the strength that they need to be spiritually strong. Secondly, we get strength by doing the will of God. Thirdly, disobedient Christians end up with weak strength. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 30 and 31, or chapter 11, verse 30 and 31 says this, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. This passage of Scripture, it's a warning that comes along with the Lord's Supper. And God is saying if we disobey, there is a result. It said, if you disobey God, many are weak. This isn't difficult to understand. Everybody here, if you're a Christian, if you obey God, you will become strong. If you don't obey God, you will be weak. And the less you obey, the weaker you become. The more you obey, the stronger you become. And that's God and His children. I think parents feel the same way about their kids. The more their kids obey what they're taught, the more that child becomes strong in the successes of life, and the more the child disobeys, the more that child will become weak in the successes of life. I'm weak when I'm not submissive to God. Hey, listen, Solomon's mother warned him in Proverbs 31:3, said, "Give not thy strength unto women." She was saying disobedience with the opposite sex will weaken you. That's what she was saying. Disobedience weakens. Samson was a man of great strength. He gave his strength through disobedience to Delilah. So he became weak because of disobedience. Proverbs 10:29 says, "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright." Listen, when Elijah disobediently ran out of fear of Jezebel, he found himself weak and out underneath a juniper tree, depressed. Folks, merely, I'm telling you, if you're not saved, you're not going to have the strength that you need to be spiritual and truly successful. If you are saved, obedience brings strength. The more obedience, the more strength. If you're saved, disobedience, it reduces your strength. The less obedient, the less strength. When you walk in God's way, He walks with you. So you say, what happens? He becomes your strength. When I leave His way, I leave His strength. I therefore lose my strength. In John 15:5, Jesus said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." I pray, I read my Bible, I serve God, I spend time with God. He builds me up. He and I, we become strong together. If I don't do the things I'm supposed to do, He said, without me, you can do nothing. He's saying, if you don't obey, you won't have strength. If you do obey, you will have strength. I've got to tell you this story. Very strong, cocky young man was at a construction site where he was working. And he'd walk around flaunt his muscles, and he was young and strong and a bodybuilder. And he made a special case of teasing the oldest man there, old John. And one day, the young buck was teasing old John with a bunch of the construction workers around. And he'd just give old John a hard time. And old John finally said, "Hey, won't you put your money where your mouth is?" He said, "I'll bet you a week's wages," and I don't think you ought to bet, but he said, "I'll bet you a week's wages that I can put something in that wheelbarrow, I can haul it to the other end of the construction yard, and I can put something in that wheelbarrow, take it down there that you cannot get back in the wheelbarrow." The young buck said, "Oh man, you're on. I'll take you on. You think you can take something down there that I can't get back in the same wheelbarrow?" The old man said, "Yep, I think so." The young guy said, "Well, bring it on." Old John said, "Get in the wheelbarrow, son." You be careful making fun of people with gray hair. They might be smarter than you. Hey, folks, God can carry you. But you can't carry yourself. The reason why some of you are saying, "I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can take it. Everything that I'm facing, is it all going to crumble in on me?" It'll crumble in on you if you're trying to do it yourself. But boy, when you've got God helping you, you say, "Well, how do I get God helping me?" It's through obedience. He said, "I build your strength through obedience." Disobedience reduces strength. Obedience produces strength. Folks, I hate to tell you, God commands strength. He commands it. I've got, if you're a guest here today, every once in a while in my preaching, it becomes a little pointed. It's rare, but every once in a while. And I'm not afraid to tell people to get with it. Knock it off and stop whining. Get up and do something with yourself. Don't lay there. We call it, don't get down in the mullet grubs and stay there. Look, God, thanks, Brother Morgan. Glad you heard something I said today. Didn't mean to wake you up. Hey, God commands strength. Psalm 68:28 says, "Thy God hath commanded thy strength." You know, God commands strength. You say, that's not reasonable. Why not? Your boss commands strength. Parents will command strength. God commands strength. I'm to be strong. If my strength is equal to my obedience, then God is commanding obedience. I think it would be reasonable for him to command strength, but he tells us how to get it. Strength comes from obedience. He commanded strength in Ephesians 6:10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Could I recommend something to you? Don't just read your Bible. Read your Bible and obey it. You don't necessarily get strength just from reading, although there's a strength in it. But boy, if you'll read and obey, now you're getting somewhere. God's command of strength is not unreasonable because he promises to provide it through obedience. So, the lost, they don't have strength because they don't have Jesus. We get strength by doing the will of God. Disobedient Christians, they don't have the strength they need because of their disobedience. And God commands strength. Now, let me, if I could, Christians, listen to me real carefully. Let me give you some areas of obedience that can produce strength. For instance, telling others about Jesus Christ, witnessing, maybe you want to call it soul winning. Listen to this. Obedience to witnessing, obedience to spreading the gospel produces strength. I know it. Let me prove it to you. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." See, I love that verse about the joy of the Lord. I want the Lord to be happy. I try to tell him jokes all the time. I'm sorry, your jokes are not what gives him joy. I've heard a couple of your jokes. Matter of fact, they don't give anybody joy. You just get courtesy laugh. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Thank you. In Luke 15:10, listen to this. It says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels, of the angels of God, over one sinner that repenteth." What gives God joy when people get born again? That's what it said. There's joy in the presence of the angels. You say, does that mean the angels have joy? No, it said in the presence of the angels. Do you know who is in the presence of the angels? That's God. God is in the presence of the angels, and what gives him joy is when one sinner gets saved. So it says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." That means this. If you'll be busy telling others about Jesus Christ, if you will witness, if you will win souls, if you'll be concerned about the souls of men, God said, "I will give you strength." See, obedience produces strength. I think obedience to loving God and loving others produces strength. Psalm 18, verse number 1, it says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." How do I express love to God? Okay. He said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So God is saying here, you want to express your love to me, then keep my commandments. Now, there are some people that would say, you know, I love God. And I would say to them, how so? And they would say, I just got this mushy emotion toward him. I'm glad you have the mushy emotion. But God would rather you show up at church, and God would rather you do right, and God would rather you told the truth instead of walk around with this buzzy bee feeling all the time, thinking that takes care of the act of love toward God. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So your proof of love to God is not a mushy feeling. Look, I love Mrs. Owens. Now, I could sit at home and just be mushy all the time. Honey, I love you. I love you, 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 I love you. I just love you. Sooner or later, she's going to say, "Buddy, go earn a living and go do what needs to be done and take the trash out and put some feet to that love." And everybody feels that way. Hey, go to work tomorrow and tell the boss, "Hey, I just love this place." Go sit down on the boss's desk and say, "I love it, I love it, I love it. Love, 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 love. I love this place. I love it here. I love it here." You know, your boss sooner or later is going to say, "Get to work. You love your job. Prove it." By what? Working. Working. Yeah. See, I believe that when we witness to others, that brings joy to God. And God said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." He said, "I will give you strength through obedience." I think obedience to pray produces strength. So when we pray, it produces strength. Psalm 138, verse 3, it says, "In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me." The psalmist is praying and getting strength from prayer. He said in Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Listen to that. Pray so you don't faint. What's it mean? If you want to keep yourself from fainting, that means falling over spiritually, falling over emotionally, maybe you ought to do the work of prayer. And so you all know, when someone truly prays, it can truly become work. The average person, when you say, do you ever pray, they say yes, and that is because they said a prayer, God bless the food, amen. And so now you consider yourself a prayer warrior. Now, I'm not trying to make things unreachable, but could I say, sometime pray for 30 minutes and see if that's not work. But God promised strength through prayer. God promised strength through witnessing. God promises strength through obedience. I think service to God produces strength. You say, why? Listen to this verse. And boy, I love this verse. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, if you look at that verse the wrong way, you'll be sitting around waiting on God to give you strength. They that wait on the Lord. That's not what that word wait means. You think waiting is, oh, I've just been waiting on God to give me strength. It's Sunday morning. If God gives me strength, I'll go to church. God gives me strength, I'll go to work tomorrow morning. Go wait right here. See if God gives me strength. That's not what that means. The word wait there means like a waiter waiting upon God. What does God want? What does God need? What do I do for God? How do I serve God? We were somewhere eating recently, and the waitress was a very good waitress. Boy, my sweet teacup would get half full, and she was right on it. She was waiting on me. Every need that I had. And if you don't like sweet tea, you're probably not even saved. Right. You come to the altar day and get right with God. But she waited on us. When the Bible said, but they that wait upon the Lord, I really wish you could study that word more clearly, because most people think, I'm just going to sit around and wait, and I'm going to sit around and wait, and I'm going to sit around and wait. Why don't you get up and go do something? And God said, I will give you strength as you wait on me. Notice what the verse says. Now that you understand it, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God said, you serve me and I'll give you an energy that you never dreamed you could have. You obey, I'll make you strong. There are people in here right now. You say, I've tried to be a good Christian. I've tried to be a good Christian. I've tried to be a good Christian. And I just keep on failing. Obey God. Obey God. Obey God. If you will obey, you say, well, I don't understand it all. Just obey by faith and do what God tells you to do, and the strength will come. Service to God brings strength. No service to God means a certain weakness in life. So as we witness, it builds our strength. As we obey, it builds our strength. As we love others, it builds our strength. As we pray, it builds our strength. As we're obedient in service to God, it builds our strength. So the verse in Job 21 said, one dieth in his full strength. You know what? I think as I grow older, I would like to figure up a way to keep my strength as intact and as close to being full as possible. I'm going to tell you all a quick story. My wife had adopted grandpa. His name was Irvin. Irvin worked in the same shop for 40, 50 years. He retired. When he retired, he went to work as a security guard. Irvin was, what, 80, 85? 85 years of age, walking miles and miles and miles every night as a security guard. Irvin, nothing wrong with him. He was strong. One day he said, yeah, I'm going to quit doing that. I think within a month, Irvin died. This is what Irvin told me on his deathbed. He said, as long as I kept going, I was fine. He said, when I stopped pushing forward, my body shut down. Can I tell you all something? Keep pushing forward. If you're just laying there, get up! Walk. Pick up your pace. Push yourself. Don't just lay there. Move. Sound like a drill sergeant. They're all scared now. Hey, I want to keep moving. I want to keep my strength up. Lost man, he doesn't have strength. It's available through Jesus Christ. We get strength by doing the will of God. If we don't do the will of God, we weaken ourselves. God commands that we have strength. That means we've got to get it. We can get it by telling others about Christ and loving God and other people. And we can get it by our prayer life and serving God. I'm done. But let me just make one more statement. Let me have a point of application here. Full strength is accomplished through full obedience. So that verse that really enticed me on this was that thing called full strength. That doesn't mean, hey, Brother Young, you probably at 80 will not be as strong as what you were at 30. But you know what I think God would like for you to have? I think He would like for you at 80 to have the full amount of strength that's available to an 80-year-old. That's full strength. I don't think God's promising you, if you're 110 right now, you say, well, I'm going to do this, Pastor. I doubt that you're going to be as strong as one of the teenagers around here. But what I am telling you is by doing what you're learning, you can have the full capacity of strength available to you. One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. The verse about Moses again. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Listen, if you and I will just do what we're supposed to do, and I mean spiritually, there is a strength that comes to us. Ephesians 3:16, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I want you to have full strength. I think God wants you to have full strength. And now I'll ask a question I asked earlier. Where are you in regard to your spiritual strength? Are you at 100% spiritually? Are you at 50% spiritually? 25% spiritually? What's your strength level? You ought to want full strength. David needed full strength to defeat Goliath. What a great children's story. Are we not all glad that David was at full strength on that day? Peter needed full strength to preach at Pentecost. What a great day. 3,000 people saved. Went down in history. I've got a hunch that Peter was at full strength on that day. Joshua needed full strength for the Battle of Jericho. Good thing he was at full strength for the Battle of Jericho. Esther needed full strength to do right in her situation. Listen, single mom, trying to raise the children without a man in the house, you need full strength. Hey, dads, I'll never forget. I watched my dad pay the bills and go to work. I watched my dad throwing his guts up and still go out and get in the car and go to work. He had bills to pay. He had responsibility. I was scared to death to be a dad. I thought, good night. It's not easy. It is not easy. You know what you need, dads? Full strength. As you're raising kids today, you're raising the little ones. You're raising teenagers. If you're raising teenagers, you need full body armor is what you need. Parents, God knows there are times when you just need, you're going to need the full strength. The emotion, it'll wear you down and drain you. In your marriage, what do you need? You need full strength. Not for a boxing match between the two of you, but full strength to resolve the issues and fix what's broken and mend and mold and help and heal. Dear one, with a sickness that seems overwhelming, I know what you need. You need full strength. Backslidden person today, you need full strength. So what am I going to do? Obey. And obedience will give you strength. Say, hey, there's somebody that's backsliding. You say, well, if God would just give me the strength, I would come back. It doesn't work that way. Your coming back is what builds your strength. If God would get me right with God, God doesn't get you right with God. You get you right with God. God says, obey, and the strength will return. To those of you that have ministries, keep your strength up. You do it out of obedience. I wanted, with today being Senior Citizen Day, I want to take a couple minutes and just talk about the subject of strength. I begin to understand it. I'm 57 years of age. Can't run as fast as what I used to. But I do, as a pastor, as a 57-year-old man, I want to have all the strength that is available to a 57-year-old pastor. I want that strength. I'd like to have full strength. If you're here today and you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. Come and get what it takes to jumpstart the strength that you need for life, and that's through salvation. If you're a Christian and you're away from God, maybe you ought to get some things straightened out so you can start rebuilding your strength. I really believe, as I look at American society, I think our society's tired. I think they're tired. I think they're weary. We need godly strength. That's what we need. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you would say, Pastor, I'm not saved, then we could help you. There are people here that have a Bible that in just a few moments could show you how to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here today and you've never been born again, why don't you let someone show you how to jumpstart the strength that you need? And that is through the thing that's called salvation through Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved? If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. Please pray for me. If you're like that, I'm not going to embarrass you, but would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Good. To the ones that raised their hand, if you need Jesus, if you come during this altar call, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. There'll be people that will come. They know how to use a Bible. They can show you very simply how to be born again. How about then? I go to those of you that are born again. You say, I'm Christian. I'm saved. I know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Who would say, Pastor, I need strength. And I have been challenged today. I learned something practical. I need strength. God helping me. I want to take something that I learned today. I want to get that strength that I need. Who could raise their hand to the sky and let God see it? Yeah, lots of hands. Hands all over the place. You see, I need some strength. I'm short on strength. I need it. You may put those hands down. To some of you, we're going to have an altar call. If you're unsaved, you come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. To some of you that you feel like you need some extra strength, you're a Christian, you're saved, maybe you need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what you need me to do. I need that strength. Hey, one point of my outline had to do with the thing that's called being backslidden. You're away from God. There's somebody here, you're away from God. You're nowhere near where you ought to be. You used to be a stronger Christian, but you're weak. You say, well, if God would give me the strength, I'd make a comeback. You need to obey. Obedience produces strength. Would there be somebody here that in a unique way would say, you know, preacher, I've gotten away from the Lord a little. Pray for me. I need to get some things straightened out. Would you put your hand up? Their hands up already. Yeah, their hands up all over the place. God bless you. You may put those hands down. If you need a moment at the altar, you too may come as well. Here's what's going to happen. In a second, Rachel's going to begin to play. We're going to stand. If you need to be born again, we're going to ask you to come. If you need the altar for a moment, we want you to come. Rachel, if you will, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Don't talk, don't play. We're still at a very serious point in the service. If you need to be born again, you come. If you need to come and pray, maybe you're away from the Lord. Maybe you need some strength. You say, I'm short on strength. Maybe you need to come and say, God, help me. I've got to have strength. I've got to have more strength. I've got to obey. I've got to do right. If you need the altar, you come. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You'll want to make sure that you've headed the direction to prepare. If you're not saved, why don't you come? Let us take the Bible, show you how to be born again. We have people that are being saved. If you're away from God, maybe you need to come. I wonder how many people have the mindset, if God would give me strength, I would do what I should do. You need to obey, because obedience produces strength. Obedience produces strength. If I had strength, I would work out. You work out to get strength. One more time through the song, please. Just one more time. If you're a guest, please be patient with us. I promise you, you're in the midst of a very sincere group of people. We're not playing church here. We don't play church. This is real. This is a real deal to us. We believe in seeing people saved and lives changed, and we believe the old black book. So we want God to have a moment to work in the lives of people. Thank you, Rachel.